One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for listening to the show again. I hope you were able to find us because of all the bullshit we had to go through with changing servers.
Woo! Stupid internet.
Honestly, like I'm still getting messages like, hey, you haven't put up a show in a month. I'm like, I have.
Yeah. We've put up two. You can get them now on our iTunes thing. They're now also accessible on Podbean, which is a much, much better service. You can go check us out there. And now that we have unlimited bandwidth, thank you, Podbean, we will never again delete a show, which we had to do to constantly put up new ones. So from now on, you will always be able to go back and see our old shows.
That's fantastic. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
What's up?
And Robert Timothy.
Woohoo!
I had this... you ever look up people from high school?
Oh, yeah.
Just to see what happened?
See how much worse I'm doing than they are?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know... We all have that the one fantasy of like the guy that was super cool and picked on you was mean. You look him up and they're a piece of shit,
right.
And they've lost their job at the gas station and the several bad divorces.
Classic 80s movie trope.
Right, exactly. So I had the opposite of that happen, and I'll tell you how. There was this kid. He had the same name as me. His name was Ryan.
Ryan Shores.
In high school, who was just. He's just a fucking dork, dude. He was like really into new metal, like mall metal.
Yeah.
Like the dude would paint his face red to look like that asshole from Mudvayne and come to school.
Right.
And people would be like, ha! he would come expecting people to be like, dude, that
look how edgy I am.
Yeah. Exactly. And people would just like laugh at him. And the thing is, I never picked on him per se, but I wasn't very nice to him either. You know, he's just, he was a hemophiliac. I don't know why that comes into play. It just one more extra thing that was just shitty about this kid's life.
So I cut him a lot.
So he was just like always sad. He had like a two dork crew with him always going places. Like he's like a guy that you knew Friday and Saturday was like a lot of like his friends bringing their entire computer monitors over and just like a ton of Code Red Mountain Dew. You just knew.
Yeah.
You knew. And the thing is like, I'm like, I hadn't thought about it. And again, I was never a bully, but I started feeling bad that I'd made no secret that I thought that he was ridiculous.
Right.
You know, I wasn't very nice to him. So I wanted the opposite of that. I wanted to look him up and I'm like, dude, I need to find out he like invented an app and like fucking is just rolling in pussy now in his mansion. I want that, dude. I want to look this kid up and see.
Turns out he is the lead singer of Mudvayne. Holy shit.
Yeah, I wanted to see his profile picture of like him in front of one pile of money, one of cocaine, and just women everywhere.
You just wanted to assuage your guilt is where this is going.
Yeah, and I looked this kid up. And his life got fucking worse. He didn't do shit with his life after high school. Like, nothing.
Right.
And right now, like, I don't know what brought him to this circumstance. He's living in, like, a dorm room in the middle of rural Utah.
Ooh.
Like, he, like, posted a picture.
Wow.
It's like this he's like, this is where I live now. It's like a brick room, a single room with a single bed next to a mini fridge with like a microwave on top of it and a chair that's broken and like a box TV from the 90s. And he's like, this is where I live. I'm like, God damn it.
He's like, the only thing that gives me any bit of joy is looking up the Facebook profile of Ryan Shores and feeling good about myself.
Hey, if I could do that for him, that'd be good. But I just made me feel so much worse. Is there anyone from high school that you like looked up and you just feel sorry for?
I mean, I think that happens all the time, especially the big one. It almost shouldn't count because it's a disqualifier. The big one is when somebody gets too into drugs. You know, there's that kid who was like, oh, that guy was awesome. He was really fun. We all hung out. He was kind of a nice dude, but he was super popular and everything. And then what happened to him? About 5 years after high school, he got super into H, and now he's basically wasted away into nothingness.
Yeah, there's that.
This might be because I'm older than you guys, but a lot of when I try to look up high school friends, a lot of them, I can't find them on Facebook.
Okay.
Which I think is like...
Because they don't know how it works.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, especially if they were women and they got married and they changed their name, you're never going to know what to look up.
Them again.
But also, I think with us three being in comedy, I think we're just used to people being on Facebook. I think it's not as normal of a thing as we think it is. You know what I mean? Like when I can't find someone on Facebook, like, what the fuck? You're not on Facebook? And I forget that's like, it's not that big of a deal to
it's
normal
not like
people.
It's not mandatory. Right. Yeah. You know what is, I think it's going to be more of a normal thing because I've noticed less and less people are being on Facebook these days just because they've been driven off by all the insanity and meanness and trolls. You know, and like, and which, by the way, Erin's profile, my wife who does modeling, she will get her page suspended for like showing the curvature of her butt in like a modeling photo, something that not many people are mad about.
Right.
However, you can still jump in someone's comments and call them a cunt, nigger, faggot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
And no repercussions. Yeah. That's in bounds.
Absolutely.
You can go in someone's inbox and send a woman a picture of your dick, and there's like no way to report it. They're like, well, that he didn't put it on your profile, so I don't see where the harm is. But you know, if a woman just shows off like the natural curves of her body, you are suspended for 30 days.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, if someone will send a dick pic, you can report to Facebook, they won't do anything about it. But then if that woman posts the dick pic on Facebook like to shame the guy,
the chick gets
suspended.
Well, you know, it's funny. Did you guys hear about this whole thing with this Texas senator guy?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, actually, I think he's the House of Representatives. It's really interesting because it came out sounding like it was one of those sexual assault things. Like some woman was like, this guy's sending me dick pics. And it's like, oh, fuck this guy, especially because you're like, it's one of those conservatives.
Yeah.
And it just kind of proves the, hey, you should always kind of question things that support your views because sometimes you'll just accept them right away. I was like, oh yeah, fuck that Texas Republican dude. He's totally being hypocritical. It turns out they were actually in a relationship for like 5 years and they were just sexting back and forth.
Right.
And then she then got pissed that they broke up and published the dick pic online. And it turns out it's actually revenge porn.
Context.
And she's being prosecuted. And you're like, oh wow, I really called that one wrong the first time. Like, I literally was victim shaming, literally.
Yeah.
Going back to the Erin's modeling thing, I saw she recently switched her thing where her regular Facebook profile was going to be used for her modeling
stuff. Yeah, because she had separate ones for a while, but now she's like, my main page is going to be modeling pages.
Yeah.
And she put this disclaimer up like, hey, I'm going to unfriend some of you and, you know, a lot of you might be offended, blah, blah, blah. When I saw that, I was like, who knows Erin is going to be offended by this?
Well, so weird. You're thinking of our immediate circle of friends, which is obviously it's none of them.
Right.
You got to think there's, she's from Alabama.
Right.
And she's got people like, you know, friends from high school who just were stay-at-home moms since 22 and are very Christian and everything else. So a woman that's, you know, posting pictures of her in bondage gear, you know, essentially topless, they're going to be like, bah!
But why be friends with that person on Facebook anyways? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Because you know her personally. I mean, Erin doesn't walk around in bondage gear and nude with a ball gag.
I mean, I guess I could see that because you're right. She does come from a different part of the country. There's this whole other demographic. It just seems to me that like anybody who knows Erin knows kind of what she does and what she's into. Yeah. And when I saw that, I was like, man, what kind of uptight person is like, that super hot chick showing some cleavage. I'm out. I'm done with this.
No, but they exist in the thousands.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And like a lot of them will, they've written her letters like, you know, I just go on my Facebook, you know, on my lunch break just and try to enjoy, you know, posts from friends and I don't have to see this smut. You know, it's like.
But again, don't be Facebook friends with her.
Well, that's why she took the initiative. Another thing that's happening, speaking of Facebook, I saw a couple of comics are bitching online about working in comedy clubs and how unfair it is. And, you know, I mean, Dave, you work in a comedy club.
Oh, it can be shitty.
It can be shitty. It absolutely can be. My whole thing, because they're putting it like, you pay us minimum wage. I'm like, and you were expecting what? Like, we're going to start you at $55K, full dental, you know, absolutely full medical, vision optional. With stock options, like, yeah, it's going to be shitty. Working at a comedy club is just shitty for these few reasons. Is number one, you're dealing with customers that are shittier than
it's
any
the
other
worst
class
of people.
Yeah, because people think they're like, oh, I know what it must be like to work in a comedy club. I was a waitress for 10 years. Like, where? Oh, Outback Steak, no.
Even Denny's, like, take a couple steps down from that.
Yeah,
the customer's all demanding.
Yeah.
They're annoying as fuck. They're all entitled.
And here's why. And I mean, it's not entirely their fault. When you go to TGI Fridays, they don't start you off by demanding you buy two drinks. Yeah. Like, that's not like their intro. Like, just so you know, you're not getting out of here for anything less than $13.
Yeah. It's a blooming onion or nothing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that is true. And not just that, they also have to deal with comics who are assholes too. Like, if right. you were just working at a regular restaurant, you'd be like, all right, some of these customers are assholes, but at least that's it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to deal with a bunch of comics like constantly tapping you on the shoulder. Hey, I was told I was going to get stage time. What's going on? You're like, I'm just a bartender, bro.
Most of the comics are pretty cool. We don't get asshole comics. At least when I'm at the clubs, I don't see a whole lot of comics being assholes.
Yeah.
But with the customers, and again, to your point where it's not entirely customers' fault, you got to keep in mind they're being told up front, you got to order two things, and the things are generally overpriced.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, most people are going to order two things anyways.
Right.
But they just get mad about being told they have to.
Yeah, that is a weird psychology thing. Like, because, I mean, have you ever gone to a bar or a restaurant and not ordered two things?
Right.
But back to Ryan's point of, you know, you get paid minimum wage. I look at that the same way I look at college sports. Like, when everybody's like, we need to start paying these college athletes because, look, they're bringing in money. I'm like, no, you know what? They're getting the education for free. That is their payment. They get to get
they get to go
to a college that they would not have gotten into, because these guys are mostly idiots. They would not have gotten into for free. You are getting a degree you don't deserve, because most of the time you're not actually participating in the same classes. That is your payment. Stop complaining. I kind of think the same way about comedy clubs. It's like, I get it. You should, if you were in a different restaurant industry, you'd get paid more. You get stage time. Stage time has a value to it, and that is the value that you are getting when you work.
Oh, and dude, that's why I don't like performing at the Comedy Store, dude, because those guys have to work to get on that stage.
Yeah.
So when I go there, I feel like they're all glaring at me like, who do you think you are? I had to bust tables to get on this stage tonight, and you just fucking waltz in. So there's always this like, very negative vibe. And I'm sure on top of that, you know, in the fact that they're working for peanuts just to get stage time, I'm sure the management also has like a you're lucky to be here kind of thing. Because the Comedy Store still thinks it's the 80s, dude. They really do.
I sold a special place for the Comedy Store because that's where I started.
Right.
Like, I like going there. I don't get up there that much, but I love being there. I know all the guys that work there. But that's the other thing. Going back to Bobby's thing about it's stage time. Like, it doesn't – there is a value to that.
Right.
But people don't take the full value from it, I think, is what
yeah.
I mean. A lot of comics, you'll see a lot of comics get really good really quick.
Yes.
Like Brian Simpson. Part of why he's so good is he worked at the Madhouse for a while. Derek Poston, same thing. Joe Grillo at the Store. A lot of guys get really good. But there's a lot of comics who work at the Door that I know who've been on stage way more than I've been. They've been on stage in a couple of years more than I've been in 10 years.
Yeah.
And they still suck.
Yeah. Well, the difference
is... Well, it's because they do the same five jokes every time. They're like, these work.
Yeah.
I'll just do these night after night.
Those jokes don't even work.
The guys that do really well are the guys that sit there and they write nonstop. And then they're like, oh, I get an extra 5 minutes because somebody didn't show up or they're late or something. Sweet. I'm going to try this new stuff. And I'm going to try and do a bunch of different things. If you just do the same set over and over again, unless you're working on your stagecraft or something, you're not really getting anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should write a song about it called Work at a Comedy Club My Ass. I will not work at a comedy club.
What's that song about, by the way?
So I was reading, we were clowning on this like privately. It's this song called Take a Knee, My Ass, I Won't Take a Knee. Dave, can you look up who it's by?
Yeah, that is by hot country star Neil McCoy.
Neil McCoy. Okay, so it's called... Take a Knee, My Ass, parentheses, I Won't Take a Knee. The reason I discovered this song is because Fox News wrote an article about it where he explains, you know, my new song, Take a Knee, My Ass, I Will Not Take a Knee, that's about actually the NFL protests.
Yeah.
He wanted to clue us in on all that.
Well, I mean, it does have a pretty ambiguous title, so.
Yeah, right? Like, what's he trying to say?
Yeah.
I want all songs to be like that.
You think that same guy was listening to the Beatles and he's like, Yellow Submarine, why do they keep talking about this? I've never even seen a Yellow Submarine.
That's what I like about country. You don't got to find out the context. there's no cryptic poetic license to navigate through. Yeah. I never listened to a Johnny Cash song said. I wonder what he's talking about here.
Pretty soon they'll have country tributes to the horrible tragedy in Vegas and it'll be like, shoot a bunch of people at a country concert, in parentheses, I would not do that.
No, pretty soon all the country stars, the name of the song is going to be all the lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
The song is like 100 words long.
Well, I will give him this. At least this guy's not profiteering like Toby Keith did off a tragedy. You know, right. I mean, it's a protest. It's his point of view. Fine. Even though he's creatively bankrupt.
Toby Keith's famous song, fly a plane into a building, parentheses, I will not fly a plane into a building.
I love that one. It's almost as good as, what's that? I think Mark McGraw, is that the country singer, or is it Clint Black? He did a really
Tim
good
McGraw.
One. Tim McGraw. Is it Tim McGraw?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did that one, kill a bunch of kids at Sandy Hook, my ass. I will not kill a bunch of kids at Sandy Hook with a rifle that I got basically legally.
Instead, I will get my autism properly treated and I won't live in a house with such lax gun laws.
It's just the lowest form of pandering. It's so fucking shitty.
Bobby, you mentioned you had a bit of vigilante justice to discuss with us this week,
dude,
did you?
You guys, I got double things. First of all, I got the reverse of vigilante justice, so I'll start off with that. I told the vigilante justice story the other week about the guy who was trying to buy my car.
Yeah, the Craigslist car. You told him he couldn't have the car.
You can't have it, blah, blah, blah. So that guy had a thick Mexican accent. And that's
why he didn't want to sell him the car.
He was the guy who jerked me around, said he was going
to sell a car to a Mexican, my ass. I will not sell a car to a Mexican.
I built a wall around that car.
There's never been a minority in this car up to now. It's not starting now. Parentheses, no.
So he was the guy who jerked me around, said he was coming, and didn't show up. And then instead of pandering back to him, I was like, fuck you, you're not getting this car. Follow up. So another guy with a very thick Mexican accent called up. This guy was named Rafael. He was very nice. He asked a bunch of questions and he said, okay, I'm going to call you back to see if I can get a loan. I'll call you back tomorrow. Perfect. That guy, I'm walking. I get a call from a 760, which Rafael was. And I looked at it. And I was like, oh, sweet, it's Rafael. Pick up the phone. He's like, I'm coming. Can I come by? And I was like, yeah, sure, Rafael. No problem. I'll see you in 20 minutes. Anyway, guy didn't show up in 20 minutes. Get a text from him. Hey, I'm still on my way. Get a call from him. I think I'm here. Don't see him outside. And I look and I realize, holy shit, this isn't Raphael. This is the no mini for you guy. He has found his way back in because they both had these. I was trying to be the non-racist guy. I was like, oh, he's just, this is Raphael calling. He has the thick Mexican accent. It sounds like that original guy, but I don't want to be the racist person who's like, hey, you sounded like that Mexican who called me before. I can't sell you this car. So anyway, I ended up getting screwed over by pretending not to be racist.
So now, wait a second. Was he fucking with you? Like, is he sitting at home on his couch saying, hey, I think I'm here.
Well, I heard a turn signal in the car, but he could be sitting like in his driveway. So yes, absolutely. I think he's absolutely fucking with me.
I told you, Bobby, you needed to send him a video of you putting a brick on the accelerator and sending that car over a cliff.
No more for you. But number two, yeah, I had an instance of science vigilante justice this week. Ryan, if you remember all the way back when you threw me a pretty sweet birthday party back in April,
yep.
I almost missed the birthday party because a very big science article had come out about a mastodon kill site found in San Diego that was purported to be a 130,000-year-old archaeological site, and I had a lot of problems with this. I think they were sensationalizing, and they were wrong, and they were doing it for headlines, and they got a bunch of headlines, and so I wanted to go to a presentation they were giving at the Natural History Museum and try and heckle the guy. I ended up not being able to get tickets.
I'm just laughing at the image of a scientist heckling another scientist.
Absolutely.
That is like the saddest.
Dude, you should have heard my heckles.
Conclusions are weak.
The data does not support your conclusion.
Falsify data, my ass. Parentheses, I will not falsify data.
That guy turned out he was giving another talk this week, and I was able to get into this particular talk, and I went in and he gave his whole thing.
Yeah, to put a disguise on, because he's like, oh, we're not going to let that guy in again.
He's wearing a giant fake mustache.
He used a thick Mexican accent to sneak his way past the door guy.
It's like Little Rascals. He's got Damien on his shoulders, yeah, wearing a long trench coat.
We're just an 11-foot tall man. So anyway, I went in there and he gave his speech, and I was like, afterwards, I was like, this is ridiculous. His evidence is super, super weak. And so I started.
What was weak about it?
A bunch of stuff.
You wouldn't understand. That was him telling you. You wouldn't understand, Ryan. Yeah,
there's no hominids in North America at that time. They're postulating an unknown hominid.
Of course.
Based on some very scant evidence of some busted up mastodon bones. An unknown hominid.
That's Bush League.
It was Bush League, by the way. And so, and it, the thing that really angered me is it got a bunch of press as if it was true, and it was just horseshit. And so I went to his presentation. I listened very quietly, and then I started asking questions, and I grilled him like on the stand about all the stuff. And
I grilled him like a mastodon steak. Yeah.
And he couldn't answer those questions. And I brought up a bunch of previous published research that describes similar phenomenon all around the country that was absolutely not man-made and that was just completely natural. And he had no answer for it. In fact, he had never done the back research to even know that that type of stuff existed. Those papers existed.
He didn't even know where he was.
Yeah. He was confused. He just started yelling the N-word.
Turns out it was a guy with dementia. That the real guy got caught at the airport. This man wandered on stage and Bobby is abusing him.
So I asked him a bunch of questions and he wasn't able to answer them. And then,
wait, is this in front of a crowd?
Oh, huge crowd. Okay. Huge crowd. And he's clearly very pissed at me. And then at the end, I cornered him and I was like, hey, you had
mentioned... Cornered him?
I was like, you had mentioned...
Yeah, I started
cornered
masturbating him. In his hotel room.
I blocked the door.
I put him in
a
modified...
I asked him first. I mean, I say cornered him, but he actually came up to talk to me at some point during the thing. And then I cornered
he
him.
He ran at him.
And I was like, hey, man, you mentioned that skeptical people, skeptical archaeologists like myself, could come take a look at your evidence, come take a look at your supposed stone tools. I'm a lithics guy. I'm good with stone tools. I'd love to
I'm
come
sorry,
take
you're,
a look.
You're a what guy?
Lithics. I mean, stone okay. tool person. All right. More of your specialty. So I was like, I'll definitely go
we
in there.
We prefer a lithics person, please.
I'll go and take a look at your stone tools. Let's do it. And he was like, absolutely. I will absolutely let you do that. And I was like, sweet, I got his card.
I'm picturing the guy, as he says that, backing into the bushes like
yeah.
Homer Simpson.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I sent him an email. Still haven't gotten a response back. So now I've been incessantly calling the Natural History Museum going, you owe me those bones. Let me see them.
The guy works with stone tools. He doesn't understand how email works, man.
Right now, he's attached something to a fox and released it. He's hoping it gets to you.
Any of you who see published reports about that Sturdy Macedon site, it's all complete bullshit.
I am
and guessing, they're dodging me. They're dodging me.
I'm guessing nobody listening to this podcast has seen reports about published reports.
I bet you
or knows what a mastodon is.
I bet you they have. It was all over the news.
Hey, our listeners are all lithics guys. They don't know what you're saying right now.
No, lithics person, and we've talked about this. Also, lithographs.
You're going to let women into the lithics field? Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
They'll just be cutting off their own hands with the sharpened obsidian.
It's outdated and offensive. Bob, you said you were trying to line up some road gigs too, right?
That's true.
How's that going?
It's a weird thing. I actually got to ask you, Ryan, because you're good at setting up these out-of-town things, and I don't know what
Bobby's
I'm doing
been cornering bookers, telling them why the shows are no good. He doesn't understand why he's not getting anything.
Human beings weren't here 130,000 years ago. Also, can I have 7 minutes on the top? Yeah, so, right, I've been contacting... I have an archaeology conference I have to go present in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I've never been to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Lucky
I thought,
you.
Hey, yes, you should not be.
And I thought, you know, it'd be fun. I'll set up some time, because, you know, conference during the day. At nighttime, I'm free. I'm there for 4 days. Might as well go get some stage time in front of a different audience. You know, I love to do that when I travel. Just go do an open mic, nothing big. Something along those lines. So I was like, okay, let me contact some bookers, make sure I can secure some time. I don't want to be the person who just pops in at the last second and demands some time up top. So
yeah, there's definitely at least that to it. You don't show up at a club expecting to go on. You should definitely try to reach out before.
Yeah.
Right. And so I did, and I said I did the very basic stuff. I looked up the comedy clubs, comedy nights, that kind of stuff. Did some Google research
more
on,
shows
on
too.
Open mic nights. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just all the open mics and all the little shows. Stuff.
Yeah.
And I sent out maybe a half dozen little things just to people like, hey, I saw you have a show this night. I'm going to be in town. I'm a San Diego comic, blah, 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 blah. Linked them to a website and then went on. I got this wide range of responses from, yeah, absolutely. Come on and pop in. We have a sign up this point. We're usually a lottery system, but if you're coming from out of town, I'll make sure you get some time to... Who do you think you are? And it was the same message. I copy and pasted the same message to the same thing. I just sent it out to different people. And here's the thing. I got that wide range. So I have to think either A, there's a percentage of people who are just crazy and batshit and they're nuts and that's the answer. Or B, maybe I'm doing something. I always like to think, what am I doing wrong? Did I send them something that sounded like I was being presumptuous and asking for time in a city that's not mine, at a club that's not mine? What do you do when you're setting that up?
You did everything perfectly. That's basically what I would have done. I mean, I might have reached out to some other road comic friends and see if they'd played anywhere that I could drop their name. But outside of that, you did everything perfectly. You weren't presumptuous. You said, what can I do to be considered?
Yeah.
That's the best thing you can do.
Maybe don't attach a dick pic next time. Maybe that's what it was.
It wasn't mine, though. It was that senator from Texas.
No, you know, the thing is, the wide range is the wide range of psychopaths
yes,
in this
absolutely.
Industry. Because some are like, cool, they see like, By the way, New Mexico is a shit state. It's not like they have like some really hot acts going through there. So, I mean, if you had contacted a guy in Hollywood, I can understand that. Who do you think we are? Dane Cook pops in here.
Yeah.
But like in New Mexico, right, every one of them should have been like, oh my God, I can say I had someone from a different state at my show. That by itself is a credit in New Mexico. Here in California, you have to be like, this guy was on Hulu, this guy was on Comedy Central. In New Mexico, like, this guy's been outside of New Mexico. Not for comedy, but he's been there, man. He went to see his grandma in Tulsa.
So, and for you New Mexico comics who are cool with your responses, thank you, by the way. We're not talking about you.
Right, obviously.
But so, you're gonna find that in every field, not just in comedy. There's always that type of person where when given a little bit of power, mm-hmm, they just become complete assholes about it. And that's what it is. It's a guy, he runs a room. He gets to control who goes up. He has that power. And he's like, fuck you. Trying to get into my room? And fuck you.
And consider this, too. I mean, again, New Mexico. This guy is the only person in show business, quote unquote.
Right.
So he looks at himself, not only is like, I have the power over this one room, he is like Bradley Cooper of New Mexico. He's the biggest star. His star power is infinite. So when you contact him, his ego is so overblown because he's this medium fish in an extremely small pond.
Right.
That, you know, that's why you're getting those.
What's interesting, though, is, I think you're right when you said medium fish, because the most acerbic responses, I got two responses that were kind of shitty, and then neutral, and then good, and whatever. But the two ones that were kind of shitty, especially the shittiest one, it was not from, like, the comedy club in Albuquerque. It was from the guy running a bar night.
Of course.
In Albuquerque, right? It wasn't even the guy who's like, hey, we actually have some national touring headliners come through here, and it's actually kind of hard to get on these dates, and blah, blah, blah. It was the guy who, you know, has the thing at the TGI Fridays on a Thursday.
That's the second time we mentioned them. Are they paying us, by the way? Because we should get some TGI Fridays.
No promoter in history has ever gotten the bar to agree to $3 bitchers of Bud Light on a Thursday. You know who the first to do that was? Me. You know what else? No promoter in history has ever gotten them to give their customers 2-for-1 wing specials. You know who the first one was? Me. So, yeah, you're going to get batshit crazy people like that, and you just don't take it personally. What you want to do, though, is I would not say I'm going to be in town for something that's not comedy, because that makes you sound like an amateur to them.
Interesting.
So I would, you know, it's okay to lie and be like, I'm on a small tour of the Southwest.
That's good advice.
And say you're filming your Netflix special and you just wanted to brush up on
I wouldn't go that far. I'm doing a small regional tour. I'd really like to pad the bill and get some extra shows in. If you have any work for me,
that
way they can maybe offer you some scratch.
Right.
If you have any work for me, I'd really
appreciate
it. That
also makes it sound like you're not just an open micer.
If you have some work for me. So use that verbiage next time. You're not in town for something else.
That is actually very good advice.
You guys, so Thanksgiving was last week.
Right.
And
you stopped in, had a whiskey, and left.
Yeah, absolutely. Played with the dogs a little bit. The dogs are fucking awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
I was dog sitting for you because you have started a new tradition.
Right, right. I from now on, after Thanksgiving, Aaron and I go out to this this hotel, motel, middle of nowhere. I'm not even going to say the town because I don't want to go there. But it's got like natural hot springs. It's like, it's like, you know, behind a desert mountain.
He's not sending him a town. He doesn't want paparazzi showing up there next year waiting for him.
Fuck you, Dave. So we go there for one night. They've got, it's like this cool little inn that like almost no one knows about with these natural hot springs attached to it. And it's got like a little inn. It's got a little bar / restaurant just attached to it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a guy right there like, you want a steak? I got beer.
Well, what I love about this place, again, we can't name it. It used to be like one of those places where Hollywood starlets would go back in like the 50s and 60s. And then eventually all those things just kind of stopped happening.
Well, the reason for that is it used to be alongside a popular highway, and then they built the 8 freeway, and the town died. It just died. Everything in this town is abandoned. It's crazy. Like, it just one after the other. Abandoned church, abandoned gas station, abandoned malt shop. It's kind of creepy, but also kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then you wonder, like, who are these people that live here still? There's like 8 people that still live in this town, and they like most of them work in the inn itself, you know? Yeah.
It's like even, in the mouth of madness. You try to leave. You end up back in town square. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's even better because this town is actually right along the border. I work there around there a lot. And this town is right along the border. And then it used to be just one town, right? And then because they didn't know when they fucking put the town in the 1800s that the border would go right through the middle of it. So then the border now bisects this town. It cuts it in half in such a way that it screwed them over because things like the fire department will... Now they're on the Mexican side of the border, so they had to like put a wall up. They're like, all right, now we have to have a new American fire department. So they put this new fire department in, but they didn't think about it enough. So so where they put the fire department, the road washes out during the winter, and there's no fire department access to the rest of the town during the winter seasons. It is that type of town.
That fire's your problem now.
Hey, it's the rainy season. Why is there a fire in the first place? No,
well, they're also the ambulance service.
Oh, that might be a problem.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we don't. There's an ambulance, but no hospital. We don't. We just kind of drive you around.
Hey, can you just like hang out in that hot spring for a while? That seems to help people out.
I heard it's got healing properties. So, anyways, we go up there, and there is a nudist colony right next to it.
Yes, there is, and it's creepy because it's hidden around this bend. That is another one. That is one where I was surveying. I was doing survey transects.
Oh,
back
you
and
were
forth.
Surveying, all right.
Yeah. Nobody...
Check out this nudist colony.
Surveying some sweet ass.
We know because everybody's over 80.
That's
but
true.
Nobody told me that was there, and we walked up to it. And we're like, what is all those trailers doing over there? All right, I just keep working, keep walking up. And then, wow, everybody there certainly likes beige clothing. And then as you get closer, oh my God.
And you get closer, beige baggy clothes.
Yeah, super baggy.
Thing.
Yeah, I have stumbled across that nudist colony back about 6 or 7 years ago for the first time in a very shocking way, and I still don't think I'm over it.
Now he stumbles across it several times a year.
Yeah.
That's his post-Thanksgiving tradition. So anyways, Aaron and I, we spent the day by the pool just reading and hanging out, having a few beers. Then at night, we went to the little, you know, inn restaurant there. And then afterwards, we're like, let's go take a walk around, you know, because we heard that there's like trails and like a little lake right next to it.
Yeah.
And the only thing open, and I don't mean at this time of night, I mean ever in this town, is a small liquor store across the street. And there's a thing next to it called the Love Shack. And I'm like, and Aaron's like, what is that? I'm like, I'm going to regret this. Well, let's go find out. So I go for a second. I'm like, is there a sex shop in the middle of nowhere? Because that's weird.
Or do the B-52s live here? What's going on?
So I get there, and it's just like a bunch of crappy knickknacks, you know? Like, it's just like a hand-carved wax frog, you know? Shit like that, you know? A dream catcher that's like falling apart. And this dude who's wearing a tie-dye towel and nothing else walks out of the back, and he looks like Tommy Chong now.
Yeah.
And he sounds like him, dude. This guy's just burnt out.
It might actually be Tommy Chong now that I think about it.
He goes, hey, this is his pitch to a new customer. Look around. We got things. And I'm like, all right, man, cool. He's like, yeah, he picks up like some sort of like weird statue of a, I don't know what it was. It looks very phallic. He's like, I made that. And he goes, oh, no, I didn't. But puts it back down. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, hey, man, are you a local? He's like, I live at the nudist colony. He's like, I put this towel on so I can come to the store and keep an eye on things. I'm like, all right. He's like, my name's Sam. I'm like, sup, Sam? And he's like, I'm like, so you live around here? He's like, I think I've lived around here for like 20 or 40 years or something. And I'm like, that was his age range.
Wow.
So I'm like, I heard that there's like a lake around here. Me and my wife want to check it out. He's like, oh yeah. And there, here's his directions. He goes, you go over there and there's like a tree. And you don't want to wear flip flops. It gets very, very marshy. And that was his directions to the fucking leg. I'm like, perfect, man. We're on our way. So I'm like, I leave there, and Sam's like, he gives me brochures for his nudist camp. Once he saw Aaron, he was really enthusiastic about us going to the nudist camp.
He was not at all offended by her Facebook page.
No, not at all. So anyways, he's like, oh, yeah. And so we get his brochure, which the front is three really old women's butts. I'll show it
to
you.
At least it's good advertising. Like, that's honest advertising.
Accurate. They had the courtesy not to put anyone fit on there to get your expectations up.
Yeah.
So anyways, we get back to the hotel, and we decided that the hot tub's open all night, and we decided to go to take like a midnight dip in there. And there's Sam, the nudist, floating around in there.
Face down.
I'm like, I thought you lived at the nudist colony. He's like, oh, yeah. You don't want to go in that water, though. I'm like, this is the face of their organization, everybody.
Yeah, think about this. He's the entrepreneur who's leaving the gates.
Yeah.
Everybody, he's the ambitious one who is coming to town.
And put on a towel for the occasion. He got all gussied up in his best towel.
Yeah, it's his dress towel, not just any regular old towel.
The two best things I've stumbled across archaeologically wise, like just into weird neighborhoods, are A, that nudist colony, and then B, if you ever go out to Slab City. I once accidentally stumbled onto the outskirts of Slab City. If you watch Into the Wild, it's this crazy place that's out in the middle of the desert in Niland, California, and it's just a bunch of slabs, like concrete slabs, where the army had a thing set up. They moved out, and a bunch of like hippies moved in. I think in like the 70s, they started a hippie colony there, and then the hippies slowly got replaced by meth heads, and now now it's a meth head colony. There's a place called Salvation Mountain out there that's really famous.
The hippies became meth heads because weed's a gateway drug.
Yeah. Well, they are definitely meth heads now, and if you accidentally stumble onto the outskirts of their community, they're very unhappy about it.
they love the word trespassing quite a bit.
Yeah, which is funny because they don't own the property. They're like squatting, so.
Wow, and where is this?
This is in Niland, California. There's a very famous landmark out there called Salvation Mountain. It's in the movie Into the Wild, where this crazy dude in the desert painted a bunch of Jesus stuff on rocks and dirt, and you like walk through it. It's an interesting spot.
I will not be going.
Yeah. I don't know if interesting is the word I would use, but it sounds, unique. Now, for Thanksgiving, I have my tradition is like, I do the Vagabond Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like, we used to do the family thing a long time ago, then this older generation died off.
He stabs another homeless guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Take all his possessions.
There can be only one.
I let you live. No, but now I just bounce around to different friends' houses. Ryan, I stopped at your place for a little bit.
Yeah.
I just enjoy doing that, seeing as many of my friends as I can. All my family's back in Michigan. Now, when I was married, we used to host the Vagabond Thanksgiving.
Right. Yep.
My wife would cook a big spread. We would have everybody over. It was a lot of fun. There was one particular year, though, which sticks out. I've never smoked weed. I'm not a pot smoker, but all my friends have always smoked weed, so I've always been around it.
Wait, you've never smoked weed even once?
I've tried a few times.
Okay.
This is Dave's edible story. This is the into the other room story.
This story I'm telling you, I had never smoked weed at this point.
Okay.
I had done ecstasy a handful of times, mushrooms a handful of times, never smoked
weed. Wow, you would have made a leap there.
Yeah. I don't need no gateway. I know where I'm going. No, but so for the party, Sherry made pot brownies, and we also had Jell-O shots.
Yeah.
And so we're having fun. We're playing, I forget what game we're playing, something like basically Trivial Pursuit, whatever, where when you do something, you
playing a game called
a shot.
Don't Tell Dave There's Weed in the Brownies.
No, no, I knew. I absolutely knew. So I had a couple of brownies and a few Jell-O shots, and I haven't never done weed before, never edibles.
A couple of brownies?
Yeah.
Oh, you fool.
So as the party wears on, everyone's done eating, and everyone's starting to like, kind of get like crossfaded. I just got so fucked up, and I didn't realize this was happening to me until later. At some point, I found one of those little handheld tape recorders, you know, like half the size of an iPod, like students would take to class. I found that, and I went into one of our bedrooms where nobody was in there. I started talking into it as if I was trapped in some dimension. I needed someone in the other dimension to get me out.
Yeah.
Like
almost you were in the upside down.
No, almost like the Matrix. Like I was talking to somebody like, dude, I need you to pull me out of here. I'm stuck. It's fucking weird. There's a lot of shit going on. I was just talking into this tape for just like half an hour, maybe. I don't even know what the fuck I was saying.
So now every Thanksgiving, he recreates that.
Oh, yeah. No, I was in a room.
Goes to people's houses, goes into their bedrooms.
Smokes DMT and just sits there with his tape recorder.
In the corner.
I would be in the room, and if someone else would wander in, I would stop what I was doing. Like, I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And I'd walk into a different room and start talking again.
Yeah.
He was the one who came to save you.
So I would, not him. It was the guy I was talking to. So I was doing this all night, and I just finally, Sherry found me, and she's like, dude, fucking knock it off. You're being weird.
Yeah.
So she would like chaperone me the rest of the night. A friend of a friend ended up showing up, a guy that I didn't know and Sherry didn't know, but someone else there knew him. I was convinced that he was the devil. I kept my wife and I were talking to him in our kitchen. He was this great, gregarious, nice guy, like a frat guy, super friendly, super nice. I would be tugging on her sleeve like, dude, he's the devil. We got it. She's like, shut up. You're being weird. Knock it off. I'm like, no, he's the devil. I thought another friend of ours was a witch. I was just like out of my fucking
Did you just mind. Read the Bible recently? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Ryan, I hope you're thinking what I'm thinking, which is we're going to start sneaking Dave a whole bunch of pot brownies. Like,
and I'm going to dress as the devil.
Yes.
As long as...
I call witch.
Yeah. As long as you give me a handheld recorder, I'll be fine. Yeah. That's my salvation.
Well, guess what? You have one in your pocket. It's called your phone. It's great. We're doing
not
this.
Not the same.
We're doing this.
No, I need to hear the reel-to-reels creaking around. That's a sense of comfort, like a blanket.
I still have those tapes somewhere in a box in my apartment. I need to dig them up.
We got to play them on this show.
Wouldn't it be great if it actually, because this was quite some time, like 10 years ago or something?
At least, yeah.
So wouldn't it be great if it had some amazing advice in there? He's like, invest in Bitcoin. Watch out, Donald Trump's going to be president. Like, he's just like giving us all great future predictions.
That would be amazing. Hillary's not going to pay enough attention to some of the states on the East Coast. She thinks she's already won them, but she hasn't.
Invest in this company called Tesla. It's going to be real big.
Oh, if only.
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
You owe me those bones! Let me see them! Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.